It is true. These old bodies wear out. They wear out. But aren't we glad that we can go right to the throne room of God and ask Him for His healing hand to be upon us? He is the great physician. Our good friend Santos had surgery this week as well and is doing okay, recovering. But it's just a testimony that things are wearing out and wearing down. But God is good and He is faithful. So does anybody need a Bible this morning? Just raise your hand. Need a Bible? Got one? Anybody else need a Bible? Raise your hand so we can get a Bible in your hand. And we have one quick little verse we're going to look at this morning as we are going to continue in what is called the Lord's Prayer, but really is a model prayer. And so this will be the last Sunday that we'll be looking at this for a while, as Pastor Kevin will be here on Sunday morning. And what a blessing he has been on Wednesday night, and that he is here to be with us on Sunday mornings now. And just keep him in prayer. And it's just going to be a good time as we just continue to feed upon the Word. He'll be teaching through Philippians, so just read ahead on that. And then at some point in time, we'll just catch up with the other petitions here that we have in this model prayer. As we've looked at this prayer, we have noticed that there are several things so far as Jesus has given to His disciples an outline of our focus. And the focus has been on, first of all, the person of God, and then on the praise of God and the purpose of God. And this morning, we're going to move on to the petition that focuses on man and our need as we look to our Father, which art in heaven, and ask Him for His provision in our daily life. So let's pray as we consider this verse. Give us this day our daily bread. Father, we come humbly before You, thanking You, Lord, for all that You do for us, all that You've done for us, and all, God, that You will continue to do for us in Your grace and mercy as we pray every morning. We thank You for that, Lord. And so we bless You, Lord, for this prayer, this outline for our prayers, and we thank You, Lord, that we would follow this. We just ask, God, that we would follow this outline as we come before You. Saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And now give us this day our daily bread. Father, thank You that You meet all of our need through Your supply and Your riches in Jesus Christ. We thank You for that. So, Lord, minister to our hearts as we consider this morning now. We ask this in Your precious name. Amen. The first thing of significance that we want to look at here in this verse is how we're reminded that our God is a practical God. He's a practical God. And before we move any further into the prayer, we see that, and this is something that I find so important, it's okay to pray for ourselves. It's okay. Lots of people feel like, well, I can't do that. And yes, you can. Well, no, I can't. That's pride is what it is. Because God has given us the provision in this model prayer for us to come before the throne of grace to ask for prayers for whatever our needs may be as well. And so we need to remember that. People need to know it's okay. That's why we can come boldly under the throne of grace to obtain mercy, to find grace, to help in time of need. The throne room is open. And He's ready to hear from us at any moment. And Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, even when we come, He says, our God, our Father, knows the need that we have before we ever ask. So He is already aware of what we're going to be coming to Him with this special need. And there is a special need that we come for. Do you have a special need this morning? Is there something going on in your life this morning? Is there something that just hasn't been maybe working out the way maybe that you had hoped or that you had planned or that you had prepared for? Something weighing heavy upon you, maybe a financial burden, I don't know, a health issue, a relationship situation, a personal issue that no one else could identify with at all. Something that's just really personal to you. Well, this is what this verse is all about. It's all about the temporal, practical, physical needs of our life and God's provision for us to meet those needs. We're physical human beings. And in the physical realm, our needs, they're very real. And God is very well aware of the importance of this need in our life. And therefore, in this prayer that Jesus has taught his disciples as an outline, he's made provision for this. If I'm going to be able to concentrate on other aspects of my life, whether they are emotional or whether they be spiritual, if I'm hungry, if I'm sick, if the bills aren't paid or there's trouble on the home front of, you know, or a relationship, it's going to be difficult to concentrate on anything else. So right in the beginning of the model prayer, he reminds us to pray for our daily need, to come to him and ask for his provision for us. The Bible says that we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness or the frailty that we have in these bodies that we live in today, but in all points was tempted as we are, yet without sin. So he knows. He knows what you're going through. He knows the needs that you have. He's not aloof to those things. And he's actually taking care of them for you, even as we're speaking and even as we go before the throne of grace. And so we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And secondly, this petition in our prayers is that we don't ever take for granted the provision that God has made for us in our lives, and to be thankful. To be thankful. Quite frankly, many go through life without ever giving thought to this, and even for believers many times. It's like we ask, but then we forget that we are to thank him. The first thing that we want to do is thank you, Lord. You're aware of what's going on in my life. And I know that you're concerned for me, and I know that you're taking care of me, and I know that you care about me more than I even care about myself. But we need to ask and we need to thank him for his daily provision in our lives. You know the expression, got your back. Well, you know what? God's got our back. He's got our back. He's got our front and he's got our side too, but he's got our back. He's watching out for us. You know, when things are going good, it's easy to forget this, that it's God who will supply all of our need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And I know that we don't have maybe the scriptures up here today. That was my fault that I didn't get the scriptures off to everybody that needed them. So just jot these down as we go. I'll try to make reference. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. My God will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But how many Christians go from day to day without ever giving thought to this? Let us not forget that the very breath that you just took right now, it's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. It's from God. So this petition very clearly reminds us of our total dependency upon him. I ask the question, is that such a bad thing, to be dependent upon him? Of course not. Of course it's not. Thank you. Even though many think that they are the ultimate source, if you will, in providing for their need, God wants man to know that we are totally dependent upon him for our every need. And his disciples, you and me who know Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, you and me are the ones that know this, or should know this, better than anyone else. And it's made clear by what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5. Without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. And furthermore, the Bible tells us that we have nothing apart from him. John chapter 3, verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. So let's just be mindful of this. Of our total dependency upon our God for his provision in our daily life, and to be thankful. to be thankful, always remembering this when we ask, give us this day our daily bread. Now, the scripture is so clear in teaching us to ask, but we must ask in faith. We must ask believing. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, Jesus tells his disciples, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. And so in verse 11, then he says, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask of him? Jot that down. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask of him? Can I say amen? Can you say amen? Amen. I can say amen. Can you say amen? Amen. So be it. James writes in chapter 4, verse 2 of his little epistle, you have not because you ask not. And see, there's where it is again. We are to come to God and we are to let our make our petitions to him. And so why is this important to us that we have to ask God? Is it because he has to be reminded of our needs? Is it that he doesn't know what's going on and he's just forgotten about us or something like that? No, that's not the answer. He knows. But the answer is pretty simple. He has made it so we come to him to remind us that we are totally dependent upon him for our every need. We're totally dependent. This is why he could take care of everything and anything without you ever coming to him. But he's made it for us to be able to come to him, to come boldly under that throne of grace, to obtain mercy, to find grace to help in time of need, because we are reminded of he is the one who is going to provide for us to meet our every need. And James writes again in James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So in going to him, it keeps us in touch with him. It builds our faith and it builds our trust in him. The more we live our life in this manner, and the greater confidence we're going to have in him. Listen for 1 minute to the confidence that the psalmist David has in his Lord. In Psalm 37, verse 25, he says, I have been young and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Very powerful verse for us. David said, I've been young, now I'm old. And through it all, I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. God's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of you and me. The thing about it is, too, I think, as I'm just thinking about this right now, it's more than just horizontally, we've got that vertical. And that's what we have to understand as well. But horizontally, we ask. And this asking isn't about begging. This isn't about trying to twist God's arm to come through for us. Oh, please, 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 God, please, please, you know I need. And let me just say, he's more ready to give to you and to give abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think than we are to even ask. Jesus said, our God will do abundantly beyond all that we're able to ask or think. And God is so much more ready to do that in our lives. But he does want us to come. He does want us to come. And so our part is to ask. And that's humbling. It is humbling. Because it does teach us and it shows us that our dependency for life's essentials is in someone outside of and other than ourselves. Notice that we're taught to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And by this we understand, yes, there are others besides ourselves who have needs. Now, this model prayer is not a selfish prayer. It's a family prayer that concerns our needs for one another. each other's needs. Now remember that God is not just my Father, which art in heaven, but He is our Father, which art in heaven. And that we are to, and we ask to give us this day our daily bread. So you pray for me and I'll pray for you. Is that a deal? I'll pray for you. You pray for me. Notice it's also our daily bread. It's not a yearly supply. It's not a weekly or monthly supply, but whatever is necessary for the day at hand. Remember, our walk of faith in the Lord is what? It's a daily walk. It's a daily walk. And what we need have need of today may not necessarily be a need tomorrow. And so we don't need to spend time tomorrow praying for tomorrow's needs when the Bible tells us that today has enough care of its own. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to take care of itself. It'll take care of its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Boy, if we could just keep that in mind, huh? If we just keep that in mind, I think we'd get along so much better within our own selves, you know? It's like, it's going to happen tomorrow. We read the newspaper. We turn on the TV. We get on the internet, and it's like, oh, man, this world's all in chaos, and it's crazy, and it's going, what's going to happen tomorrow? Today. Worry about today. And so take this to heart. And don't be robbed of today's joys and blessings in the Lord by worrying about tomorrow's need. You know, I believe that it's God's grace that He doesn't tell us what's going to happen tomorrow. I believe that's His grace. And I kind of like that. Do you know if we knew what was going to happen tomorrow really in our lives? I mean, it could change a whole lot of things in our lives, couldn't it? But just take it a day at a time. It's so much more refreshing. It's so much more relaxing just to be able to just know that this is just a daily walk that we're on. Take me by the hand, Lord, and let's just walk hand in hand. And let's just be together, me and you. And you go to work with me, and you go to school with me, and you go to church with me, and you walk through the neighborhood with me. And we'll just spend time together. Isn't that awesome? Just to have a special time with the Lord. And then somebody says, though, well, what if He doesn't take care of this that's happening right now tomorrow? Continue to pray about it, and He'll take care of it tomorrow. Remember, our Father knows what we have need of before we ever ask. And He is as good for tomorrow as He is for today and for the future. He's as good as. But nothing. He'll supply the need for tomorrow when we get there. He knows what you and I have need for today. And He also knows if you have need for food on the table. He knows if you need gas in the car. He knows if you need money for rent, or if there are bills that need to be paid. He knows if you have need a touch of His healing hand for a sick body. He knows if you need a job. He knows if you need a relationship restored. He knows if you have a child or a parent or a loved one, family member, or friend that needs salvation. He knows that need, and He's working to meet that need. Now, I want to tell you about I'm going to give you this illustration because it just happened. It may be simple, and it may be in comparison to what your need is today. Because I don't know what your need does. God does. He knows what you need today. But last week, He knew what I needed. He even knows if you have a leaky skylight and your roof is leaking and the rains are coming down hard, as they have been the past couple of days, right? Well, after the storm last week, after 24 inches, and you didn't have nothing down here. I mean, you had nothing. We had 24 inches up at the house, and you know what? It lingered. It wasn't one of those storms that just was gone. It kind of lingered, and so that moist snow sat up on the roof. And then came the rains, and then came the hail. And Nancy and I heard the drip. And it wasn't outside, it was inside. It was inside our bedroom. Now, I called several roofers in the area, and guess what? Everyone was booked solid and couldn't make it up to the house until the middle of June. Seemed everybody's roof was leaking after that storm, huh? Well, the rain was coming down, and I needed someone. Now, I had to do something about it, so my shoulder is still kind of, you know, a work in progress. So I had Nancy go to the garage with me, and we got the ladder. And we came out to the side of the house, and I started to put up the ladder, and I saw that the ladder wasn't going to make it. And so better judgment told me, you're not going up on the roof. I was all ready to go up on the roof. I was going to put a tarp over the skylight. I don't know how I was going to attach it to the roof, but that was my plan. But when I looked at how I was going to get up there, better judgment, or the Lord said, no, you're not going up. But Lord, it's raining, and it's dripping, and the rains are still... No, you're not going up on the roof. So I started again, making the calls to set up a time. Here's one of the messages that, I mean, this one just floored me. I didn't even leave an answer. I didn't even bother to answer this guy when I called him, and he said, sorry, I can't take your call right now. I'll get back to you as quickly as I can. It may take a couple of days, but be patient. And I promise to get back to you. God bless. Well, I was frustrated, but I had to let it be. And I had to leave it in the Lord's hands. So I called more local companies and I set up an appointment for June the 5th for someone to come up to the house. Well, this was all happening Wednesday morning. Wednesday afternoon, I got a call from Nancy that the guy who I heard the message but didn't leave him a message, but he saw my caller ID on his phone machine, he called Nancy. He called the house. And he said, I want to come up and I want to fix this. I hadn't even left a message, you know, on the guy, but he knew that there was some problems. But I hadn't even left a message. And the guy said, I want to come up and I want to fix this. Are you going to be home tomorrow? And Nancy, who wasn't as anxious as I was to get this fixed, I guess, said, no, we're not going to be home in the morning. So the guy says, I'll come up tonight. Now, do we have a stalker on our hand? What do we got here? You know, roofers, man, I've heard of roofers out there. So she said, yeah, come on up tonight. And so she called me, and while I wasn't in church on Wednesday, I went home. I'm going to be there if this guy's going to be at my house, you know. And, you know, to make a long story short, this guy, after working all day, lives in Golden, came all the way up to my house to fix that leak in my skylight and didn't ask for a penny. That was the Lord working. Now, I know a laborer is worthy of his hire, and so we did work something out. And I will say that there were other criteria to this, but this was well beyond anything that I could have imagined. With the rains coming, I needed that skylight fixed, and the Lord sent this guy. He sent this guy up to the house, and he took care of it. It was the Lord providing for my daily need. I mean, there's no other way to answer. I didn't leave a message on this guy's phone. And he still came and fixed it. Now, here's another illustration. When Nancy and I were experiencing marital problems some 30, 40 years ago, I kept praying the same prayer. Lord, I want my wife, I want my family back now. Now, that was an okay prayer to pray, but I had a greater need for that day, and the Lord knew what that was, and it was for my heart to really be softened more towards him and to trust Nancy with him at the same time. That was the greater need for that day. Because until my relationship of trust was actually solidified with the Lord, I hadn't been a Christian very long when all this was going on, but until my relationship with him was solidified, then my relationship with Nancy really couldn't be met with whatever lasting effects we were going to have been able to celebrate 50 years on March 4th. This was 7 years into our marriage. And so the Lord knew. It wasn't that God didn't want to restore that relationship right then and there. And you know what? He will when we surrender. When we are on our knees and when we surrender to him and yield ourselves to him, when both, he's going to work. But you know what? He had to keep Nancy over here and he had to keep me over here until we both really, we were both solid and walking in the Lord the way that we should do. It wasn't that God didn't want to restore the marriage right then, but my relationship with him was more vital at that moment in time. And that was something that I didn't see. I wouldn't change any of it today. At the time, I wanted it changed right then and there. But I wouldn't have changed any, I wouldn't change any of it today, knowing that the greater need that I have is that relationship with my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, both of these illustrations, they're there to show you that God knows the real need in our life before we ever ask. He knows the physical. He knows the temporal. He knows the practical things we have need of. But I believe praying for our daily bread includes something else. I believe that it includes a daily portion of him and his word. He is the bread of life. John chapter 3, verse 35, verse 48, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. So in praying for our daily sustenance of bread, maybe the greater need in some of our lives is to feed more upon him who will supply and meet the need of our daily life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what's the rest of it? Everything else will fall in line. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will begin to fall into place. They'll be added to you. This is something that God has taught his people from the beginning. And he's taught us that because he wants us to learn to trust him. He wants us to trust him through every aspect when the days are dark. And I remember what Chuck Smith said about darkness. And when we begin to doubt, he says, don't doubt in the dark what God has already shown you in the light. Don't doubt in the dark what God has already shown you in the light. Did he say that I will never leave you? I will never forsake you? Did he even write in his, isn't it his word that says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, for I am with you. My rod and my staff, they comfort you. He wants us to trust him, and he wants us to know that he can be trusted. That's really the issue, isn't it? When we're asking, give us this day our daily bread, aren't we really saying, you know, I trust you, Lord, when I come to you and ask that petition? That's what this prayer is about, trusting, believing, and resting. Now, quite often, he will allow things to come into our lives. Some things that may be uncomfortable, some things that we might not understand, but they're there for the purpose. They're there for the purpose of learning trust so that we can be assured of his faithfulness to his word to us. But also that we keep our communication open with him. That we're talking to him. That we're communing with him. And that it's fresh every day. This is important. This is important that our communication is fresh with him every day. Do you remember back in Exodus? In Exodus chapter 16. And the children of Israel were, they were taking a hike. They were walking. And It was a pretty good little walk. But you remember how God provided for the children of Israel while they were walking through the wilderness? He provided for them with manna. And it means, what is this? As the children of Israel are looking at, that's what manna means. What is this? It's coming down like snow, you know, that we're going to feed upon. But it's an interesting thing. What did he tell them about the manna. He said, only gather up enough for today, for that one day. Don't store up for tomorrow. He wanted them to trust him. He said, I'll provide for your daily needs. And so the manna came down. And what happened when some of the people failed to trust God for his provision? And they kind of like hoarded it. Hey, I got a little extra here, honey. Let's go put this in the back of the tent, you know, and we'll keep it for tomorrow. Well, what happened to it? It spoiled. It got moldy. It became all crusty and stale and infested with worms. What's the lesson? Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord for this day. Give us this day our daily bread. And whatever is needed for the next day, he'll supply that need as well. Now, maybe what he supplies is not a direct answer to what that specific need and that immediate situation was that you brought before him. But maybe it's you need, you're asking for one thing and he's telling you, no, what you really need is you need courage. You need hope. You need perseverance to just press on to the next moment in time. And I'm working on that other bigger problem that you have. But right now you need courage to trust me. You need hope to rest in me. And you need to persevere that I know what's going on in your life and I'm going to take care of it. And I will supply that need. Give us this day our daily bread is practical, and many times it is for just that strength and that courage and that confidence that we need. Paul even writes, be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And he'll give you that peace that you need just to move on, to take that next step of faith. And it is a step of faith. For some believers, our relationship and trust in the Lord has gotten, though, stale and crusty. And they're not satisfied with God's daily provision, thinking it's not enough or it's not sufficient for them. Do you remember the words of the Lord when the Apostle Paul sought him? Talks about this in 2 Corinthians. And it says that Paul came to him over an issue that he had, and he sought the Lord three times. And I know you know the answer that he got. My grace is sufficient for you. And Paul had to leave it, let it be at that particular time. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Maybe not the answer that he wanted at that time. Whatever his issue was. And there's a lot of speculation on what was going on in Paul's life at that time. You know, some thinks it was eye problems. He doesn't say. But we do know what the Lord said to him. My grace is sufficient for you. And I think that's sometimes what we have to really take a deep breath and say, thank you, Lord, for your wonderful grace. For getting what I don't deserve. And for being there for me every step of the way. Because he will give us a daily supply of grace. And he will make provision that will be sufficient for that day. He's not going to give you a monthly supply. Why? Well, he knows all too well that we'll only be back when the next need or when the next crisis happens. But he will be faithful in answering our prayer to give us this day our daily bread. Now, we may think that we need more, but we don't. This prayer says, I trust you, Lord Jesus. I trust you totally. I trust you completely. For every detail of my life here on earth, as you prepare me for your heavenly kingdom and to be in glory with you. So some say, well, why hasn't God? Why, Why hasn't God restored my marriage? Why hasn't He saved my loved one? Why hasn't He healed my cancer or the sickness of a loved one? And those are very real needs. And they said, doesn't He care? Doesn't He hear my prayer? Don't ever think for one minute that He hasn't heard the cry of your heart. And don't think for one minute that what's going on in your life isn't the most important thing to Him. Isn't that awesome? Whatever it is that's going on in your life, it is the most important thing to Him. And He's working. We may not understand His timing, but we know that His ways are not always our ways, huh? And His thoughts are not always our thoughts. But we can trust Him with all of our heart and lean not unto our own understanding. In all of our ways acknowledge Him, knowing that He will guide and He will direct our paths. Understand, He has the bigger picture in view. You know, we have like inward eyeballs. Heard Tom Stipe say that so many times, you know. Inward eyeballs. And we have inward eyeballs. And we need to be looking out and looking up to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. He knows the hurt that we all experience in this fallen world. And He hears the cries of our hearts. He sees the tears. It's not that He wants us to suffer, but because we do live in a fallen world, we are going to experience the things as a result of that fall. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, in the Sermon on the Mount, same portion we're reading now. He said, He makes His sun to rise on evil and good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. But for us who believe, who have put our hope in Jesus Christ, that's something that we have that others who do not know Him do not have. They don't have hope. And that's why they scramble, and that's why they try and take care of something, you know, without ever going to Him, without ever thinking about Him, without ever bringing Him into the equation of life. They can do it themselves. And they're like we spoke last week. They're like the little engine that could. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. But they don't have their eye upon God who we know can. But we have a hope that's been promised to us of everlasting life, that when this earthly life is over, it's just the beginning of an eternity with Him, where the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne of heaven will shepherd us and lead us to living fountains of water and will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Isn't that awesome? Revelation chapter 7, verse 17. Write that down. And yes, God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Revelation 21, 4. Can I say amen? Amen. Let me make another comment here. At the end of the day, if one is to realize the hope that we as believers have and the provision that God has made for us, we have to know the God of heaven through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. A friend of mine, not a real close friend, but a musical friend of mine, passed away yesterday. And he crossed that line into eternity, and I posted a comment on my social media. And there were others, of course, then, who were touched by this person's music. And they continued to write on Facebook, and there were a few that said, I sure hope he was saved. And then it got interesting after that, because not everyone who is on my social media page knows the Lord. And one comment was like, huh? As if, what's that mean? I hope he was saved. I hope he knew Jesus. Huh? And then someone else commented, oh, his music was so good and so important, and that's the only thing that ever matters. It doesn't matter what God he believes in or didn't believe in. All that matters was that he made people happy with his music. No, that is not the bottom line, and that is not the end of the story. At the end of the day, if he wants to be in heaven, and I don't know, I know that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible says that God knows those who are his. But I also know that it's not by works of righteousness that I have done, but it's by the work that Jesus Christ has done at Calvary's cross that means we will be in heaven with him by believing in him for salvation. That's it, the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Now, I've heard that this person in a book that he wrote did acknowledge his faith in Christ. If that's true, praise the Lord. I did not have that conversation with him, so I don't know. But I do know that these people that are commenting on my social media page that have some other idea of how to get to heaven or whether one's going to be in heaven or not, they're going to get an answer from me on that for sure. Because there's only one way. There's only one way to heaven. So once again, we're reminded of our walk of faith. Even as we walk our daily walk down here, we are dependent totally and completely upon him. Even in the midst of things that we don't understand. Even in the midst of things we don't understand. This is something that we said we would do when we were brought to our knees and we accepted him. When we received Christ as our Lord and Savior, in essence, we are saying, it's not me anymore, but it's you. And I put my life and I put my trust and I put my hope and I put my eternal destiny in you. In you, Jesus, who died for me at Calvary's cross, whose blood was shed for me for the forgiveness of my sin that separates me from you. It may be through tears, it may be through sorrow, it may be through adversity that we're reminded of our great God and what he did at Calvary's cross for us. Do we suffer hurt? Do we suffer sadness because God is aloof to us and doesn't care? No. He loves us with an everlasting love. And he will supply all of our need, our daily need, through his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And therein lies our hope. God will provide for all of our need. Say that. God will supply all of my need. Our need, but I'm talking now personally. He's going to supply my need, even as he's going to supply your need. And the greatest need that man has is to know that when we cross that line into eternity, it's not a hope-so situation. We're either going to be in one place or the other. We're going to be in heaven or we're going to be in hell. That's what the bottom line is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me, and I believe that, and I put my entire life, my entire being, my entire adult life, oh boy. You know, and can I think of when I was a young adult? If I would have crossed that line into eternity before I was 33 years old, I'd have been lost forever. Oh, I could have had a lot of fun, you know, doing all those drugs and doing all that other stuff that goes along with a rock and roll lifestyle. But you know what? They're killers. They're killers. And so I put my hope in Christ. I put my trust in him. I put my family in his hands to work his perfect work. In meeting the practical things of life, we need strength to believe that he will meet that need. And so that need is feeding upon the living word of God daily. Not a little snack here or there. Not a little nibble. But sitting down and having a meal and feeding upon the word to nourish our spiritual man. What's your need today? Are you hungry today for more courage, more strength, more hope? God will supply that need. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you'll find rest for your soul. He will provide. Please, Christians, believers, here, out there, know that. And don't doubt it for a day. Don't doubt it for a minute. He has your best interest at heart and will supply that need that you have today. But maybe that need is a greater need, and maybe it's a spiritual need. And he's here to meet that need as well today. Because God is concerned about every need that man might have. The Bible says that man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And the Bible tells us to believe in the name of the Son of God, to put your trust in him. And those of you who are believers today, you know that. And you know that walk, it can be tough at times, it can be hard at times, it can be difficult. Things get thrown our way that, you know, it's like, where did that come from? And it can be a struggle sometimes, and we can feel like, oh man, I'm at the end of my rope. Well, that's where God wants us. When we get to the end of the rope, then you know what? Then he can intervene. I could go on with that story too, because that's another story. Give us this day our daily bread. Pray that with boldness. As we think of this model prayer, just give us this day our daily bread. Lord, just what I need for this day. And let me be satisfied and content and full to overflowing with that. And then trust him. That whatever something may seem like it's out here, down the block, or around another week, a month, or whatever, he knows. And he'll get you there. But if the greatest need today is the need for a Savior, then today is the day to humble yourself before him and to call upon the name of the Lord. If it's that you need a Savior, if you've never come to that place of saving faith in your life, today is the day. Because I'll tell you what, we do not know what tomorrow will bring. Fact is, we don't know what the next minute will bring. And if you never opened your heart to Christ, and I speak to this congregation of people today as well as those who are listening on the internet, if you've never come to that place of saving faith, saving grace, I'm telling you, I believe that the time is short for what the Bible describes as the last 7 years of world history, where this world is going to be chaotic and it's going to be crazy. The Bible tells me the believers are not going to be here at that time, but it's going to be crazy. The Bible tells me that today is the day of salvation and to call upon the name of the Lord if you have never opened your heart. Well, what does that mean, Richie? Well, it means to acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner. Ooh, I do good. Jesus said, there's none good except him who is in heaven. So let's just stop right there. The Bible also says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift, that's a key word, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That gift is open to everyone today who's never come to that place of saving faith. The Bible says that every man has been given enough faith to believe that simple little word of truth there, to call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. But you must confess to him that you are a sinner and need a Savior, and that you believe that Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, is the Savior of the world, and you personally want him to be your Savior. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you today, as we close with this petition for your provision, Lord, the greatest provision that man has today is what you, Lord, have given to us in your Son, your only begotten Son, Jesus. Lord, your word tells us that you love this world so much that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Father, I pray and I hope that those who are listening today know that when we cross that line into eternity, there's not annihilation. We're just not gone and it's all over. No, life goes on. That's what the Bible teaches. Life goes on for all. And it's going to be spent in one place or the other. And so, Father, I pray that those who are listening today, those who are here today, if they've never come to that place of saving faith, that today that they would humble themselves before you, that they would confess the need that they have for you by acknowledging you, Jesus, and what you did at Calvary 2,000 years ago when your blood was shed for the forgiveness of sin, of their sin, of my sin, and that they would call upon your name and be saved. If you've never come to a place of saving faith in your life, if you've never made that decision for Christ in your life, what more can he do? What more should he do for you than what he did at Calvary 2,000 years ago? He's asking you to take a step of faith. He went to the cross for you. He died for you. He was the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. And so today, God says, this is the way into heaven, through my Son, through faith in him. If you've never called upon his name, if you've never acknowledged that your life, no matter what you have done, no matter what you've accomplished, no matter how good, no matter how whatever's gone on in your life, you have fallen short of entrance into heaven because you've never called upon the name of the Lord and confessed before the God of heaven that you need his Son to get you into heaven. If you've never made that decision, can I pray for you this morning? Simple thing. I just want you, where you're seated this morning, to lift your hand and raise your head and open your eyes and look at me and say, Richie, will you pray for me this morning? Pray for me this morning. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, I want you to do those three things. Lift your head, open your eyes, and raise your hand and let me know. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, other than you who are looking at me. If that's you, if you want Christ today, will you please just do one those three things? That's it. Is there anyone at all in our midst? Anyone at all? Preaching to the choir, huh? Well, I don't know who's listening on the internet, so we're going to pray. We're going to pray that if you are listening on the internet today and you've come to that place of decision in your heart, then pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I don't know what's going on in my life right now, but I know something's happening. And I know that there's changes that I need to be making in my life, and that change starts with coming to you and surrendering my life to you who died for me. I believe that you, Jesus, did that for me 2,000 years ago when you came to this earth, when you were raised up upon that cross, and when your blood was shed, that it was shed for the forgiveness of my sins. I confess to you today that I am a sinner. And I believe, Jesus, that what you did at Calvary, when your blood was shed, it was to wash away my sins. And today I confess before you and open my heart in asking you to be the Lord of my life and my Savior. And I say thank you for waiting for me to make this decision today. Thank you, Lord. I can call you that now because I've surrendered my life to you. Thank you for waiting for me. Fill me afresh each new day with that daily bread that I need. Help me to walk that walk of faith that would glorify you and honor you with my life. I know some people will probably be looking at it and they'll be saying, "You have become a Christian?" And you can smile at them. I can smile at them. And I can say, "Yes, I've surrendered my life to Christ. He is now my Lord. He is my Savior. I serve Him. And my hope of eternity is in Him forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for doing this for me. For it's in your name I pray. Amen." Well, God bless you guys. Pastor Kevin will be here next week. And boy, howdy. Read ahead in Philippians now. That's where he's going to be teaching. And, you know, I'll come hobbling in here pretty soon. You know, but keep me in prayer. You know, my little body's falling apart. And so we'll just see here how it's going to go. But you're going to be blessed. If you've come on Wednesday nights, I understand that. I confess to you, I've only been here once. I had to leave last week. But I'll tell you what. Kevin loves the Lord, and he loves you that he has met here at Calvary Broomfield. He loves you dearly, and he only wants to bless you with the gift that God has given him, that gift of teaching. And so come out on Wednesday, 1 John, come here in Philippians, and we'll see you one of these days.